Again, my name is Mark Finch, F-I-N-C-H, and pastor Lighthouse Baptist Church. It's a small church about an hour and a half west of here, across Afton Mountain there in the Waynesboro area. And before I get into some of the things that I wanted to share with you, I just wanted to thank you all for your support of the AIBF. Okay, your support of the AIBF allows them to support me. Okay, in the work that we're doing there, and without the help of the AIBF, what we are doing would be much more difficult. Church planning is not easy. I thought when I first started this process that, well, we'll have 100 people in a few weeks. Well, it doesn't work quite that way. You know, it's been 2.5 years, and we have 30 or 40 people, which is great. I retired from medicine in 2010. Went to Carolina Bible School, came back in 2014. We've been at it 2.5 years. We started with 10 people. Six of those were my family, plus two other couples. And we now run about 30 or 40 on a Sunday morning. I think this morning we had about 36. And so that's sort of who we are and where we are. We have about 15 couples, generally middle-aged couples, who come into the church to help from a variety of locations. Some have moved into the area, knew about us. And so we have a pretty solid group of people. And we have a lot of visitors that come through. My background as a physician in that area, what has happened is I've started this church. As the weeks and months have gone by, a fair number of my patients have come to visit. Or employees, or people that I knew, or maybe family. And then, of course, family of the folks that we have in our church have come to visit. And so we only run 30 or 40 people, but we've run 100 or so visitors through our church in the last year or two. And most of these people are lost. And I think a lot of times people come to visit out of curiosity. You know, here's this doctor. He quit his medical practice. He's got this church in a strip mall. Let's go see what's going on over there. It sounds sort of odd, you know. Let's see if this guy's crazy. But so people come in, and a lot of times they do not return. And you might say, well, that's terrible. And it is in a sense. But we give out the gospel. Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning worship service, Sunday night, Wednesday night, for the last 2.5 years, we preach the gospel. We preach it faithfully. We preach it forcefully. We don't sugarcoat it or anything like that. And so people come in that have never been in the church before, no real church background at all, just out of curiosity to see what I'm doing, and they hear the gospel. And it's our hope and our goal and our prayer that as the months go by and the years go by, that people will remember and perhaps return, okay, and maybe be convicted of sin and come to know the Lord as their Savior. In the process of planting the church, we've distributed thousands of pamphlets and tracts and Johns and Romans and different things in the area. There's not a house probably within 4 or 5 miles of the church that hasn't received some type of literature from us. You know, the Shenandoah Valley used to be known as God's Country. But in our county, Augusta County, that I think has a population of about 50,000 people, only 5,000 people attend an independent Baptist church on Sunday morning. And so there are many lost people there, just like they are everywhere. I did want to share one story, though. Years ago in my medical practice, I had a couple that came to see me. She was a teacher. They were very affluent, upper class, very nice people. And lost, unchurched, never been in a church before. And this gentleman came to see me one day. He said, I've got a problem, and I won't share with you exactly the details of what he described to me. But to make a long story short, I was able to diagnose him, or we were able to come up with a diagnosis of bladder cancer. And we were able to catch that early, get him treatment, get him in for treatment and whatnot. He was very appreciative of that. And I left, moved to North Carolina. Years have gone by. It's been 6 or 7 years now. One thing that we do there at the church is we try to put some of our sermons online so that people out in the community, if they happen to Google us or look at our website or whatnot, they can see what we're preaching and what we're all about. And he sent me a lengthy email a few weeks ago. I had not heard of him, didn't know what had really happened to him. He reintroduced himself. He talked about his cancer a little bit and how he was doing well. And then he said he had been online and been listening to my sermons. And, I was sort of startled by that, the fact that this gentleman is really more of a secular type of guy, would have taken the time to go online and see what it is that we were doing and what we were preaching and whatnot. And he said, but I've listened to them all. I need some more. And so we do have a man in the church who takes exactly. I invited him. I said, well, you need to come down and visit. He lives about 40 miles to the north of us. And I said, come on down, visit sometime, bring your wife. They're just a lovely couple. And but I said, look, you keep looking. We're going to get some more online for you. And so the goal is, you know, if there's one out there, okay, that whether I took care of them as a physician or I didn't, if there's people out there searching and who need the truth, and it is my hope and prayer that we'll see this man in church one of these Sunday mornings, and we'll continue to put sermons online, and you just never know. You know, you just never know when you sow the seed what's going to happen. I just want to take a couple of minutes, don't have a lot of time, just to give you sort of a tidbit on a physician's perspective as it comes to, as it relates to the gospel and salvation. Healthy people don't go to the doctor, do they? Not generally. And a person has to understand that they're sick, that they've got a problem, they've got a pain or a lump or a bump or there's some issue going on. They must understand or realize that they're sick before they go to the doctor. And they must have a desire to be cured. You know, there's a lot of men out there that have medical problems, but they won't go to the doctor until their wives make them, right? But you have to understand that you're sick, want to be cured, go to the doctor's office. The doctor doesn't typically come to your house and drag you out, you know, and make you take medicine, not that sort of thing. You go to the doctor, you're sick, he gives you a prescription, you go to the pharmacy, you pick it up, you take it home. But then you have to trust the physician, don't you? You have to put your faith in the physician that the medicine that he's given you is accurate and correct and will heal you of your problem. Well, as a sinner has to understand he's sick too. And if a sinner doesn't understand he's sick, if he believes he's healthy, the doctor can't help him, can he? The doctor cannot provide or will not provide medicine for someone who's healthy. That would be malpractice. And so you can't skip that step. So a sinner, realizing that he's sick, that he's doomed, that he's got a problem, that he's lost, that he's in trouble, takes the time to go to the physician. He realizes that he's sick and he has a desire to be different. He has a desire to be cured. He has a desire to be healthy. And so he goes to the physician, and the great physician, and he gets a prescription. That prescription is the cross of Calvary, the shed blood of Christ on Calvary. But he must accept it, hadn't he? He must put his trust in the great physician, just like a sick person must put their trust in their local physician. It doesn't do any good for a sinner to realize they're sick, have a desire to be clean and healthy, if they will not swallow what Christ has to offer. You know, Judas tasted the gospel, but he died and went to hell, didn't he? And a person, it doesn't do any good when a sick person's given a prescription if they just sort of lick the bottle. They've got to take the contents. Right. And so a person, if they are to be saved, must accept Christ fully. Yeah. They must swallow Christ, in essence, as we're taught in John chapter 6. And so that's just from a physician's perspective, sometimes how I witness and try to get through to people, have them understand the doctrines of repentance and what that means, and that, you know, you must understand you're lost. And then the need, once you realize that, to find a physician that you trust, and in this case, Christ, and accept what he has to offer. Take it, swallow it, believe it, and then move on under his guidance. And so, again, our hope and prayer as lost people come through our church and as people listen to our messages online and as we witness and hand out tracts there in the Shenandoah Valley area is that over time, as the time goes by, people will see their need for a Savior. Because times are getting bad. I think we all know that. You turn on the news, you open the paper, things are getting worse every day. And right now, people are relying on perhaps their medical doctor a little bit too much. And what they really need to be doing is relying on Christ, their great physician, their heavenly doctor.